Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman, and I'm going to be your host for this episode of Track World News presented by Track Barn. We have two major topics that we're going to be discussing. One, a controversy that happened at the U.S. Championships that no one's talking about. And then we're going to be making some predictions for the 4x1 and who we think is going to be on the men's team and the women's team, as well as the order for both the men's team and the women's team. Before we go any further, I want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's video, Manscaped. As track athletes, we're going to be running tons of miles every week and can be really sweaty and gross after a hard day of practice, but those days are behind us. Manscaped just sent me their brand new performance package, which comes with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Look, I've tried a lot of razors in my day, but the Lawnmower 4.0 is just different. Its ceramic blade helps reduce grooming accidents, LED light allows you to shave anytime, anywhere, and since it's waterproof, you can even take it in the shower if you want. When shopping with Manscaped, use code TWN at checkout to get 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping worldwide. Show up to your next meet looking good. If you want to be the best, you gotta look the best. Link is in the description, and now back to the video. In the men's shot put competition, we had an issue amongst one of the top competitors there, Darrell Hill. Had the world championship standard, he has made multiple world championship teams, as well as the Olympics. Really solid thrower. The one that's in question is the first throw from the competition. He has big throw, big way to start off the comp, and it was measured out at being 21.44 meters. But he gets the red flag, and so they originally say that he fouled on the front of the board, and so he was a little concerned. He's like, what the heck is this? I didn't foul it. And so he goes up to the official and says, hey, I don't believe that I fouled on the front of the toe box. If you touch the top of the plastic wall on the shot put, or if you extend and touch the ground in front of it as well, that's a foul and the throw doesn't count. And so the official originally says that he fouls on the front of the board. They say that he fouls the throw, and he looks at it. He's like, no, this isn't a foul. I was not fouling in the front. And then the official's like, oh, no, we messed up. You didn't foul in the front. You fouled in the back of the circle. And so at this point, he's really confused because he's like, wait, you're changing what the foul is. You're saying it was up front. Now you're saying the foul is in the back. Like, what's going on here? And so he appeals the foul. And during this entire time, the competition's still going. So he's having this disagreement with the officials, as well as trying to still compete at the same time. So it's not like they stopped the competition, this is going on. This is all happening at the same time as the competition is. So he discusses with the official, and the rule for a foul on the back of the box, this is rule 187B, states, touches any part of the body, the top of the iron band or painted circles, including the top inside edge of each or the surface outside the circle. Note, it will not be considered a failure if the touch is made without providing any propulsion and occurs during any first rotation at a point completely behind the white line, which is drawn outside of the circle running, theoretically, through the center of the circle. So, if your toe hits the back of the top of the cement lip, then it's okay, unless you're using it to propel yourself to go farther. So you'll see there's the shot put is usually dug into the ground a little bit. And so if your foot touches on the top of it, it's fine, as long as it's behind that white line. But if you use it kind of as a lever to push off, like a starting block, that's when there's a problem. And so this is a rule that you don't see oftentimes used or as a foul within the shot put. It's not oftenly called. And so he's getting this foul, and they're looking at the tapes, they're going back and forth. So right now he's in eighth place, and there is one more thrower that's going, Jordan Geist from Arizona. And so he gets a throw, and on his last throw, he throws it's a 20.26, which pushes him ahead of Darrell Hill, who had 20.23, puts him in eighth place, and now he's there. But when Darrell looks at the tape or sees the throw, he's like, oh yeah, like he fouled there. His foot was on the corner just like mine was, so that's a foul. It doesn't count. But they don't call that a foul. So he's like, whoa, what the heck's going on here? Like, you're calling mine a foul. You're not calling his a foul. It was the same type of thing. So why is there a difference right here? It should be treated samely. And so he goes back to the official and he says, wait, that was a foul. And so it's okay. Do you want to appeal that or do you want to appeal a throw? And so he says, yeah, like, actually, let's go to, a throw from Ryan Krauser. And they look at a throw from Ryan Krauser. And it looks like it's the same type of thing. Like, it looks like it's going to be a foul where his foot is on the top edge. This isn't a foul. I don't believe it's a foul. We did the same thing. So why aren't we treated equally? And then so he now appeals it to an even higher ranked official, who is like the appeals coach or person or whatever. And the appealer, he's like, okay, this is a judgment call. Did you, talking to the official, see a foul on the throw that Darrell threw? And he's like, yes, I did. He's like, all right, that's it. It's fouling. It doesn't even look at the video. And if you look at the video, it shows like it's a pretty standard throw. Like, you wouldn't see anything different out of it from everyone else. It's very similar to every other person's throw that's competing there. And so now he's livid. And this entire time, he's like, you know, he's really upset of what's going on because it's not being treated fairly and in an equal way that his blunder or his throw was. And so there's a big arguments that are ensuing. If you're watching the stream, you're probably seeing all of this. And so after, he then appeals to like USATF and all of that. Unfortunately, the appeal doesn't work for him, and so he's left off the team. That throw that he had on the first throw would have put him in the top three. He had what was, like we said, a 21.44, which would have put him in fourth place at the time, and he would have been going off to Eugene for the World Championships. But because of this foul that they had, it doesn't count. And he put this on Instagram, and you see a lot of fellow athletes are getting his back. Like, a lot of fellow athletes saying, yo, this is BS, this is stupid, we have your back, blah, 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 we know, you know what's going on. And it's really unfortunate and unsettling with the way that this was treated, because it was so clear that the throw that he had done was the same as the throw that virtually every other competitor had done. His foot was in the same position as virtually every other competitor. He was using the circle the same way as every other competitor. And so it's like, why was he treated differently compared to the ways that these other athletes were treated? He had mentioned that the official didn't know who he was. He didn't know who the official was. There wasn't any long-term beef or anything. It's not like that guy might have had it out for him and he was looking for any reason to get him out. This was the first time they were interacting. And so he had no reason to, be kind of, angry at him. And so it comes back to this, where it looks like, these officials might have been going on some sort of like a power trip here. I mean, look, we're not saying you got to get every single call right all the time. Like, no official is going to get every call right every time, especially the first time you see it. But what we have seen in sports, it's not just here in this situation, but just in sports as a whole, officials don't like turning over their calls. they very rarely will turn over their calls, because they make it seem like, oh, I got it wrong and I'm admitting that I was incorrect, and so that means my credibility is going down, and so they just don't want to admit that they're wrong. And it's like I said, it's not just here with this meet, it's just across all sports when it comes to officiating. And so it sucks, because it's now at the hands of, the fact now Darrell doesn't get to go to Worlds. And so this is really costly, for a guy like him. I mean, you're going to the world championships, which many of these contracts have incentives based on you qualifying for world teams, and now not allowing you to go because, this official went on a little bit of a power trip and didn't allow you to kind of compete. I mean, that also, like we said, affected his other throws. I mean, this happened on the very first throw of the competition. So for his next two attempts, he was focused in on, this issue at hand. And so, you know, his second throw where he threw a 22-3, that was probably affected. And then the third throw where it's a no mark was probably affected. And so this one situation of the head official, you know, not being helpful and you know, being a nuisance and a problem affected where he was going to end up placing. And it's really unfortunate. And what else sucked there is he had mentioned during this entire time, none of the other officials were willing to help. It was just the head guy versus him. And all the other officials had their head down, turned around, not trying to assist. And it's like, your job here is to run a fair competition. And so that's fair for everyone. And if you get something wrong, admit it, and then fix the problem. And because it's not like it was like they're looking at a judgment call and they didn't have video. If it was like, hey, this is what I saw, and it's like, we don't have video for it, so we can't go back. That's one thing, because then it's based off of just something of, you know, he said, she said, he saw, we saw. But in this competition, they had video of the throw and they were looking at it. And so it's like, you got to explain what we're seeing and what the other person's not seeing, because clearly there is a disconnect there. What they probably should have done was, look, we're going to, this is the video. We're going to pause it right here. You see where your foot is and you see the action that it makes. This is why we're calling the foul, but they didn't do that. And so not only did they not have clarity on why this was a foul, but they just didn't, go through that, the proper process to, you know, make it what should potentially be, you know, a foul, or whether it was or whether it wasn't. So this was just an annoying situation for Durrell, and want to make sure we spread some word on that. I know many of you guys are sprinting fans and maybe jumping fans, and so might not have heard about this controversy, but it happens. And, you know, these are one of those situations very similar to a false start issue. Like, let's say, you know, an official calls a false start on, you know, X runner, whoever it might be. And then you go back to the tape and it's clear that it's not a false start, but the official just doesn't let him or her go back to the competition. That's what this was. And it's massive, because now he wasn't able to go to the finals and he wasn't able to compete and, you know, try to make the team. And, you know, saying like, oh, it would have automatically gotten you to the world championships. Who knows? Because, you know, all these other athletes are competing off of what they've already thrown. And so who knows if these other throwers, you know, knowing that Durrell had thrown a 21-44, maybe they would have had some extra oomph going into it and maybe someone would have passed. We don't know, but we know that you weren't given a fair opportunity to at least see that situation through. And so that's what the problem is. It's like, let's make sure that we're going all the way through with what the issue is, and have everyone, you know, getting the most eyes on deck. Like this guy that was at the top of the appeals, don't just say it's a judgment call. Like, it shouldn't be a judgment call. It should be you did it or you didn't. It's not a judgment. It's you either propelled off the edge or you didn't propel off the edge. It's not a, I think you didn't. It's you did or you didn't. And the fact that they are not able to make that distinction, maybe that's one of the problems. And maybe if it's like, hey, that's going to be a problem that we're having, then maybe change the system, man. Like if it's like, hey, we don't want to have these people propelling off the back lip of the edge, maybe change the lip, maybe make it higher, maybe make it lower, whatever it is. But if that's an issue that's going on, maybe you should change something in the system. That's just my idea. The men's shot, not shot, but the 4x1. So we saw at USA's, the orders for the 100, the 200. We went over some of our favorite events and everything that went down. And now it's the order of this 4x1. And so for those that don't know how the selection process can work, the way that it works is it's going to be the top four people, or I guess top six people, sorry, for each 100 are eligible to be on the team. And so if you finish in that top six, and then you can also put anyone on the team that has made Team USA. So, I mean, shoot, if they wanted to make Ryan Crouser on this 4x1, he technically could do it because he's on Team USA. So he's eligible to be in this relay pool, as well as the next two or four competitors, because you have 4, 5, and 6. So I guess 3 competitors. And so looking at what the men's side is looking like, this is what my order is. And then I will go over why I left certain people off it, and then why I have this as being the order. So for me, I have leading off Christian Coleman. In second, I've got Marvin Bracey on the back stretch. Third, Trayvon Bermell. And then fourth, bringing it home on the anchor leg, I got Fred Curley. And obviously some of the notable names that were leaving off here, Arian Knighton, who came in with a 1945 in the 200. And then obviously also Noah Lyles, who has been the anchor of the Doha 4x1 back in 2019 when Team USA won it. And the reason that I'm leaving these guys off are mainly for two things. One, your 100 meter time, and then two, chemistry. And I guess three, scheduling as well. You can put that in there. And the way that the 200 is set up time-wise, the 200 and the 4x1 are very close together. We saw this happen in the Olympics last year, where apparently many of these 200 guys weren't even considered to be in the 4x1. Like Noah Lyles wasn't considered to make the to be on that final, you know, if they had done it, and Kenny Bednarik hadn't really been considered either, despite two of those guys probably should have been on the 4x1. Because they're focused in on the 200, which happens just 2 days before. And they have all of those rounds going into it, and so they're dialed into this, and so they're not really doing too much training, if any at all, when it comes to the batons. And so that's one issue there. Two, just the PRs. Like all these the other guys that I have on this team, they have faster PRs. They've ran faster this year in the 100. And so it's gonna be hard to, you know, say, yeah, we're gonna put somebody else on it, when we've seen these guys have faster PRs there. But the main thing for me is the team chemistry aspect, because people forget how important team chemistry is when it comes to a 4x1. And this is the best four that we have when it comes to team chemistry and top end performance. So Christian Coleman, he's one of your best starters that you're gonna have for not only for Team USA, but in the world. He's one of the best starters. So you need to have him leading off the baton. Then second and third, I have for team chemistry, Marvin Bracey, Trayvon Bermell. They're training partners. They've been friends for a long time. They know each other's tendencies. And so having a baton pass in between those two, where you have, it's you get someone receiving the baton, taking the baton, and then passing it again. Like that's the most crucial handoff we saw. We saw last year in the Olympics, we had a little issue with the handoff in between Curley and Ronnie Baker. They kind of ran up on each other, and one, they didn't train with each other too much. They didn't do much baton practices. And two, just doesn't have the team chemistry. And so if they're not going to be practicing too often, I would rather have the guys that know each other's tendencies there than someone that is just that has no idea what's going on going into it and hasn't seen the person run or train very often. So that's why I'm going with those two, because it's most important to have team chemistry, because if you can't get the baton around, then it doesn't matter how fast you are. Like, chemistry is huge, and you need to have those two there. Trayvon Bermell, I have him on the second stretch there because he does usually start. He starts pretty often, and so having him on the curve is something that I would like to have there. Then finishing up, I want Fred Curley. So Fred Curley, one, you know, he has the least 4x1 experience there. So, you know, he had been traditionally doing the 400. So one, I'd like to have him just handling the baton the least, like just get it and go. Don't want to have to worry about you handing off the baton. Just get it, go, and reach to the finish line. Also with him, just like he's been a very, very strong finisher. We've seen some splits times when it comes to the 100 where he starts picking it up even after like the 70 meter mark, where like a lot of these athletes, like you reach that top end speed and then it starts going down. But with Fred Curley, it's like he starts going up faster, then he starts going down, then he even picks it back up again a little bit. And so that's what I would like to have, someone that's going to be able to finish it strong and finish through the tape. So that's the order. And like I said, it has everything that you need. We need team chemistry. We got the two best athletes that have team chemistry there. We need a good starter. We got Christian Coleman that's going to be starting. We need someone that can close out and finish the race strong. We got Fred Curley there. And so that's why I have that list. And I'm not going to be, and it's like, oh, so let's put in Noah Lyles. Well, then where are you going to put Noah Lyles? It's like, oh, I want Noah Lyles in the anchor. Okay, so if you put Noah Lyles in the anchor, that means you're probably going to be putting Fred Curley second. And then who are you going to have third? Bracey or Trayvon? And so, like, once again, like we had that issue at the Olympics with Fred and Baker last year. And so it's like, let's just avoid that situation completely and put the guy who is going to be running the 100 and the 200 at last. So one, you can get a little extra breather. It's only going to be a couple seconds, but you know, a couple seconds can mean the world. And two, it's also, he's going to be a little bit more tired than the other people who are just doing the 100. So let's give you, the job that has the least amount of, you know, effort to do. You just got to run, put your arm back and get going. And so I'm not putting in Lyles there because I just need that one, that team chemistry, because I don't want to have him in second to third when he's not going to be able to practice handoffs at all, and I don't want to have Curly on the second leg there. So that's why I've got that as the order. Let me know what you think, who should be in the order for the men's side there. For the women, my order I have as Tonisha Terry first, Aaliyah Hobbs second, Abby Steiner third, and then Melissa Jefferson fourth. So Tonisha Terry, she's got one of the best starts that we've got right now here in the U.S. You know, she really gets out the blocks really well. And so I think having her starting off the competition and hopefully eating up some ground and at least maintaining the same distance in between USA and Jamaica, I think is going to be a really, really big thing there. So I want her to be leading off. Aaliyah Hobbs, she's the strongest runner that we've got, a lot of power, and she's been really showing up to be performing at a high rate recently with her several 10-8s that she's been running. And so I want her to be continuing that right on the back stretch, because she'll be probably going up against Shellyann Fraser-Pryce, because I think she usually is the one that's second leg. So having her going up against her, you know, I don't think she's going to be getting nervous or starstruck or anything, so let's put her second. Third, Abby Steiner, obviously your 200 meter runner, who's going to be doing some crazy things there. In my mind, she's either going to be doing the 4x1 or the 4x4. She's not going to be doing both, just based off timing and how much talent we have. You know, just looking at the 4x4, I don't see as there being any reason for us to put her in that right now. I mean, we have so many talented athletes on the women's side that you could choose from. To go to Abby Steiner, I feel would be like, just, it just doesn't make any sense. And so I have her running in the 4x1, not in the 4x4. Yeah, obviously, you know, she's the national record holder in the 200 indoors and outdoors. So she knows how to run a curve really, really well. So I want to have her on that leg so she can actually have a chance to eat up a little bit of ground there. And then fourth, Melissa Jefferson, you know, she's coming through with that 10.69, and I think giving her the baton in a good position, it's going to be tough when you're finishing up against, you know, whoever that might be, whether it's Elaine Thompson-Ra or you know, maybe Sherika Jackson. It's going to be a tough leg, obviously, but I feel she'll be able to take that race home pretty well. And for the men's side, like, once again, it comes down to chemistry and getting the baton around. If they can get the baton around well, USA wins, or for the men's side. For the women, it's going to be really hard to take down Jamaica. Like, it's going to be really hard. Like, for in order for USA on the women's side to beat Jamaica, I'm looking at, we're probably going to have to, one, have the races of our lives. So USA has to, you know, just put together a spectacular race. And then two, in order for them to win, they have to kind of hope that there's a blunder on Jamaica's side, because they're looking at potential records here. Like, the women are looking at doing some serious, serious damage when it comes to this 4x1. And so I think it's going to be really tough to be able to see, you know, if we can beat Jamaica. But they could. Like, once again, it comes down to that chemistry. I mean, it depends on how much they're going to be practicing. We've seen that the U.S. women don't really have issues when it comes to the championships. And when it comes to 4x1s, the U.S. women tend to do well. It's the men that I'm nervous about a little bit more there. But I think that's good. Both of those are going to be strong legs. I mean, both of these relays have opportunities not only to medal, but there's, if not a favorite to win the championship, there's an outside favorite. There's an outside chance at being able to pull up an upset. So those are my relays. Let me know what you think when it comes to those. Who did I get right? Who did I get wrong? Are they in the right order, the wrong order? Let me know. And also, what are your thoughts with the Darrell Hill incident that we had? That's going to do it from us here. Next week, we'll be previewing the 4x4, going over who we think should be there, as well as just previewing the overall national championship. So that's going to do it from us here. If you want more content, make sure that you follow us on Instagram at Track World News. We post almost daily over there. And we also are going to have some exciting stuff to announce when it comes to the World Championships. So definitely want to see or to be sharing that with you all sometime soon. That's going to do it for us. Have a good one. Peace.